Can somebody say praise the Lord? Can you hear me good? All right, let's turn to Luke chapter 24. I do have several Bible verses we're going to look at tonight. And I don't know, maybe I want to term this tonight that we're going to open a can of worms. Can I open a can of worms tonight? Now, if you think worms are icky and you don't want to get your fingers dirty, maybe this is not for you. I don't know. God is good. God is good. What I want to share tonight as we get into the Word of God may be a little difficult to comprehend or understand. If you get to the end of the message tonight and you just sort of look at me with your head tilted about two-thirds like a young calf looks at a gate or new gate, y'all have heard the expression. We'll have this recorded. You can get a CD of it. We'll have it on the internet shortly. You can listen to it that way. But I want to challenge you tonight to put on your thinking cap. How many understand that God gives us a mind and gives us reasoning? I may not have all the answers. You may have slightly different view than I do. Either way, we can look in the Word of God tonight and be edified and be lifted up. Can you say amen? Well, let's stand to our feet for the reading of just a couple verses here. I've read these each time. This is part number 4. In a teaching series that I've chose to title All the Prophets. Last week I subtitled the message Beginning at Moses, and I want to continue with that subtitle Beginning at Moses. But we want to read in Luke 24, and shortly we'll turn to John chapter number 5. If you're in Luke 24, say amen. Verse 25, 26, and 27. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, somebody say Moses, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this evening. We praise you this evening. Thank you for a wonderful plan of salvation. Thank you for your holy, precious, infallible, inspired word. And Lord, tonight, the feeble attempt we're going to put forth, I ask you tonight to honor it. Lord, to open our heart, to open our mind, to give us understanding. And Lord, as we encounter things in the Scripture that we struggle to understand, Father, just have your way. Lord, just open our eyes that we see clearly tonight and we have your viewpoint. Lord, we acknowledge you in all of our ways. I ask you to direct our path. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Shake someone's hand before you're seated. Say, it's good to see you in the Lord's house this evening. Hallelujah. All right. God is good. I've asked you to find John chapter 5. Our scriptures that we began with in Luke 24, we've been focusing on these now for the fourth week. And not going to rehearse the whole story of the two travelers and the one stranger. But this was Jesus talking to these two individuals, and he sort of rebuked them, calling them fools. Now, I want you to know it's okay for Jesus to call you a fool. Somebody say amen. But it's not okay to call your brother a fool. The Bible plainly warns us against calling your brother a fool. Very, very plain. David in the Psalms says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I could totally agree with that statement. Someone that don't believe in God today is, I don't know, they're blind, they're foolish. But the word fool here means not understood or unintelligent. It's a mild rebuke saying, this is really something you should have known. Our Lord was telling these two individuals, you've had the prophets, you've had Moses, you've had the Scripture all this time, and you've not been able to see. How many recognize we need Jesus' help to see Jesus in the Word? And there's something about, Brother Micah, looking at the Word with the preconceived revelation that you know Jesus is there. When you look at the Word already knowing Jesus, then you find Him everywhere. But when you read the Word as a book, if you read the Word as a story, if you read the Word as literature, how many understand you won't get Jesus there? You know what I'm saying? We know and understand that through the revelation of Jesus Christ, that from the very beginning, God had a wonderful plan. Sharing with some of the men before church, Jesus is not the contingency plan. It's not plan B. God only has a plan A. Amen. And He stuck with it from the very, very beginning. And you think of that, because when we get into this lesson, I don't know. Again, I'm praying tonight that as you leave this place, you'll be scratching your head, thinking and wondering about the subject matter that was taught here tonight. And again, I believe the Lord will help us and challenge us tonight as we look to the Word of God and understand we've got an awesome, sovereign God who understands the beginning from the end. And He holds everything in the palm of His hand, worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. John 5, I read this verse last week, but I want to bring it in again because we're going to focus on Moses tonight. And notice John 5, 45 and 46. Do not think that I accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me. Read this with me. For he wrote of me. And Jesus is saying, well, even the one you trust in or think you trust in is the one who recorded about me. And he talked about me. He wrote of me. Now, the books of Moses are the first five books of the Bible. And if you would, find Acts chapter 3. While you're finding that, let me just recap a few things in the first five books of the Bible. And we're going to get into some of these in depth as we get into this study. But again, as I read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, I'm reading it from the viewpoint that I am a born-again child of God that's trusting in Jesus, believing that Jesus was with God the Father from eternity past. He was always there. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us, somebody say us, make man in our image. We have plural pronouns, noting the communion between Father and Son. God made Adam. He was a created Son of God. The Apostle Paul in Corinthians talked about the second Adam. And who knows who that is? That's the only begotten Son of God, who is Jesus. And again, we're going to cover a lot of things tonight. I encourage you, get the CD. If you don't get it tonight, it just don't soak in and absorb. You know, I'm really cautious about going into this because I feel like tonight that the Lord needs to help us. How many are praying for the Lord to help us tonight to have understanding of an awesome plan from the very beginning? And I pray that the Lord would allow me to be His mouthpiece tonight and that I would share this word with you in a way that would be pleasing to Him, edifying to the church. He pronounced the defeat of Satan through the woman's seed in Genesis 3:15 at the fall, where He said He would bruise the head of the serpent. How many know that? The blood of Abel described in the next chapter, chapter 4. And in Abel, I see a foreshadowing of our Lord and Savior. Abel was a good shepherd that offered an acceptable sacrifice whose blood testified after death. I see Jesus when I read of that and think of that. The ark of safety that Noah entered into in chapter number 6, 7, and 8 was the means of salvation. I have an ark of safety I run into, and God the Father sealed the door, Brother Tim. Hallelujah. We're thankful for that. The lineage of Jesus was foretold four times through the book of Genesis in Abraham and his seed, chapters 12, 18, 22, and 26. If you want the details, you're welcome to my notes afterwards. Melchizedek in chapter 14 was the king of Jerusalem, priest of the Most High God. And I love to read how that he brought forth bread and wine and he blessed Abraham. And how many of you today know the king of Jerusalem? He's the priest of the Most High God. And through the offering of his body, we are blessed with the bread and the wine at the table of the Lord. Genesis 22 describes Abraham offering his only begotten son to God and in saying, in Isaac would that seed be called. And when this offering was made, God spared Isaac as the angel of God called out of heaven saying, do the lad no harm. That day a ram was offered as a substitution in Isaac's stead. How many understand that Jesus became our substitution and that He is the only begotten of the Father? Hallelujah. And that God did not withhold His only Son from us. Genesis 24, and again, I'm covering a lot of ground tonight. Abraham was a father that sent an unnamed servant into a faraway land in order to get a wife for his son. Now, if I look at the Holy Trinity of God, I can ascribe Jehovah God of the Old Testament as the Father, Jesus the Son, the only begotten of the Father in the New Testament, and the Holy Spirit is never given a personal name. How many understand that? Don't have a name for the Holy Ghost. And I see the work of this eldest servant in the house of Abraham as the same thing the Holy Ghost is doing today. How many understand the Holy Ghost is here today in this world to prepare a bride for the Son? One day we're going to leave this old world and go to the marriage supper of the Lamb and be reunited with the Son forever. Somebody say amen. Joseph, and again, I'm covering a lot of ground tonight. Joseph was betrayed for a few pieces of silver, falsely accused and threw into prison. I look at the prison like the grave. Amen. How many understand that Jesus was sold for a few pieces of silver, falsely accused, and put in that prison? Joseph in prison was between two, a butler and a baker. One had a favorable conclusion, one had an unfavorable conclusion. And when Joseph was brought out and exalted after prison, he was made to be the source of bread for the whole world. Who knows who that's similar to? Someone say amen. Now, we can get into a lot of this through the Word of God. And again, I'm just skimming over this, and some of these we will get into detail. That's the book of Genesis. The book of Exodus describes the children of God in cruel slavery and bondage, delivered by the salvation of God as Moses stretched his hand out over the sea when he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of God." He led them through the desert on the way to a promised land. Friends, I know one, a deliverer that God sent, that's delivered us out of bondage by the salvation of the Lord. He's taken us through the desert of this world, and he's taken us toward a promised land, a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, bread from heaven on our journey, water out of the rock, and he was the rock. In the book of Exodus, we could talk about the tabernacle, many things there that foreshadow our Lord. And how many know what we covered last week? Somebody say the Lamb of God. We see this in the book of Exodus. The book of Leviticus, we see a scapegoat on the Day of Atonement that bore the sin of the children of Israel. And as the blood of the atonement offering was taken inside the curtain, sprinkled on the mercy seat, I believe that's what Jesus done for me and you. Leviticus describes the anointing of the high priest. And friends, I tell you what, I wasn't there at Jordan, but our high priest was anointed before he entered into service. How? By the Holy Ghost that descended on him in the form of a dove. Numbers described a brazen serpent in the wilderness put upon a pole that became the antidote to the snake bite. He talks about cities of refuge that they fled to. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter number 6 that we've got a refuge that we can flee to, a hope, which is the anchor of our soul. A prophet in the book of Numbers described a star rising in Jacob, and in Deuteronomy, and I tell you what, I haven't done this justice. We're going to get into the details of this a little later. He talked about a prophet. Somebody say prophet. Prophet like unto Moses. Somebody say, whew. How many understand that's a whole lot to say in 5 minutes? We will get into some of these things. Acts chapter 3. How many are there? All right. And again, I understand tonight's subject matter may be a little complicated. Please, if you don't get it tonight, get the CD and let the Lord bless you with what we're going to share. Acts 3 tells the story of the lame man at the beautiful gate healed. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have what? Give I thee." We find later on that Peter is telling about the miracle and the source of this miracle, saying, "This ain't by us. This is by Jesus." Verse 22. Acts 3:22. "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren," read this phrase with me, "like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things he shall say unto you, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet," how many understand we need to hear what this prophet has to say, "shall be destroyed from among the people." Now let's go up to chapter 7. Peter said this at the miracle of this lame man, ascribing the miracle working power to Jesus, who was foreshadowed in the life of Moses. Now we recently completed our study in the book of Hebrews. And for those of you that were here, when we dealt in chapter 3 in the book of Hebrews, during that study, we looked at Jesus and Moses, and we're going to look at that again tonight in a little different way, though. Stephen, before the council in Acts 7:37, rehearsed the same thing. Notice what it says. If you're there, say amen. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, what does it say, of your brethren, like unto me. And again, what does he say here? Him shall ye hear. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight, friend. Are you hearing the word of the prophet? I'm talking about an earthly man, but I'm talking about this prophet that was foretold. We'll go to Deuteronomy in just a couple of minutes. In fact, go ahead, find Deuteronomy 18. Jesus, when he was upon the Mount of Transfiguration, there God the Father did something. Brother Delmer, a voice came from heaven saying, this is what my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But then he added on, hear ye him. Same words that he said at baptism, but at baptism he didn't say, hear ye him. But here he's saying, this is my Son. I'm showing you the glory I've had with him before the foundation of the world. He is the source of eternal life. You need to listen to Jesus. Friends, if you forget the words of Ted Stidham, you'll probably be okay, but don't forget the word of Jesus. Because if you forget the words of Jesus, you're going to be in trouble. He's this prophet that we are admonished that we must listen to. And friends, I tell you what, Jesus is the only source of life. Without Jesus, you will die and go to a devil's hell. You've got to have him. You've got to have him. Now, I've said this, and we read there in Acts chapter 3, where Peter referred to this verse in Deuteronomy 18. Notice we're going to start reading just in a second in verse 15. Stephen also mentioned this prophecy of the prophet that is to come. God the Father said we need to hear the Son. And friends, tonight my heart is open because I want to hear from the Son. I want to hear from God tonight. Amen. How many believe our church needs to hear from God tonight? You know, man's just not going to do it. I think that's we've had programs, we've had personalities, we've had individuals. We've had the glitz and the glamour, but you know what? We've left the Lord out. We put him on the back pew. It's time for him to be the source and the focus of our services and not people anymore. People come sometimes to hear a preacher. My desire is I would be invisible tonight and you would just hear of Jesus and fall in love with Jesus and know the power of the words of Jesus. And it would be about Jesus from the time we walked in the door until the time we left. All about Jesus. Because, friends, Jesus is the only word, one that has the words to eternal life. Amen. Now here's the prophecy. And again, our Lord to these two travelers, beginning at Moses, talking of the things pertaining to himself. I have to believe he mentioned this. I do believe he mentioned this. Although it doesn't tell us what all in specifics that he mentioned to the two travelers. But notice verse 15. And I want to make 5 points about this. And then we're going to look closely at this verse. And in a minute we'll turn it back to Hebrews. Verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. I make the point, prophet is capitalized. Is it capitalized in your Bible? From, here we go, the source of where this prophet's going to arise, from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. That's important. We're going to touch on that. Moses, giving this word to the children of Israel, he said, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Got to listen to this prophet. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Verse 18, here we go. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. Again, what he said in verse 15, like unto me. Now here, talking about this prophet, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all, the full counsel, that I shall command him. Now think about what Jesus done. Now verse 19, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which I shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Five things. First of all, this prophet would arise from Israel's household, from the midst of the brethren. How many caught that? Verse 15. Number two, this prophet must be listened to. I want to hear Jesus tonight. Number three, this prophet, Brother Micah, will possess the words of God. God said that. This prophet's going to have my word. Number four, this prophet will be completely obedient. How many can see a picture starting to form already? Number five, this prophet will be similar to Moses. We're going to talk about that. Like unto thee. And I don't know, but someone raised in the household of Israel that has to be listened to, that possesses the word of God, who was completely obedient, that's similar to Moses and Stephen and Peter, said that was fulfilled in Jesus. How many can see Jesus already? Can you say amen? I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter number 2. As you're turning, two versions, other versions of the Bible, verse 15 says, the Lord your God will give you a prophet. It says here, from among your people. Like me, you will give ear to him. Another version said, the Lord your God will send to you a prophet. This prophet will come from among your own people. He will be like me. You must listen to him. You know, we can follow Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Of the 12 sons, we can follow Judas, Judah, Perez, follow it on down to who? To David, Solomon, all the way down to the household of David, in which a virgin by the name of Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And the child that she birthed into this world in the city of Bethlehem in a manger. How many of you understand that that prophet born into this world, born into the household of Israel, was the prophet we've got to listen to? His name is Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. Hebrews 2:16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able. Somebody say he is able tonight. How many believe he's able? Abraham wasn't able to count the stars, but you know my God can call him by name. He's able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think by the power that works in us. He is able. I love that. And help me understand that Jesus is a capable and able high priest in things pertaining to God, and it behooved him, it was necessary for him to put on this Jewish veil of flesh. Understand that he took on a body down here. A body similar, Brother Tim, to his brethren. In fact, looking like a Jew, Judas had to kiss him to identify him above the others, because he had no distinguishable traits that would identify him other than a normal Jewish man. Isaiah 53 verses 2 and 3 says that he hath no form nor comeliness, that when we see him, there's no beauty that we would desire him. And I believe the artist's conception, where we see this beautiful man with blue eyes and long flowing hair, that's not Jesus. Don't know what he looked like, but I don't know. I picture him with maybe wavy hair. I sort of picture his hair being a little shorter. I don't know. That's just me. Don't get mad. But Jesus was in this body from the midst of the brethren. This prophet did arise. Now, glory to God. I want you to find Exodus chapter 32. And it's going to take me a minute to get there. Romans 8 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. If you do not believe that God the Son I'm going to lay this out tonight, friends. I can't believe that you would sit in this church and hear the teaching and preaching of this church and not believe this, but you never know. If you do not believe that God the Son came in the flesh, John, 1 John 4:3 says you are of the Antichrist. I believe he left his throne in glory. I believe God the Son came down here. I believe that. Romans 9 and 5, again, I've asked you to locate Exodus. Whose are the fathers of whom concerning the flesh Christ came? Who is over all, God bless it forever. He chose to come as the seed of Abraham. Hebrews 2:14, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. We're thankful that Jesus came in this body. Somebody say amen. But looking at the life of Moses, he was a pattern and a foreshadow of my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. So if I look at things that occurred during the life of Moses and during the earthly ministry of Jesus and see how there are similarities there, that would tell me, you know, maybe God the Father from the very beginning, Brother Mike, we mentioned this before church, had a plan. And his plan was totally, absolutely sure. How many know your salvation in Jesus is sure? How many know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? We've got to have that. Amen. But we see that both Moses and Jesus, listen to this, both escaped a mass slaughter of infants due to the fear of a king because of a deliverance prophecy. Think of the timing of both these and the precursor of what led up to this deliverer being birthed into the world on both accounts. Both ministries were authenticated by God with miracles. Both were noted for meekness. Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And the scripture said Moses was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. Let me hurry. They both fasted 40 days. They both had 70 helpers. They both chose 12 leaders. They both mediated a covenant. They both had glowing faces. They both saved a woman at the well. They both became a good shepherd. They both appeared after death. They both spoke mouth to mouth with God. They both fed a multitude in the desert with bread supernaturally. And it's interesting that Jesus had those people in the wilderness when he broke the loaves and the fishes. Think of the timing. Supernaturally fed bread. And the part I want to drive home tonight, they both, oh my goodness, they both volunteered to die for people while being a mediator. Consider this. And friends, I want to get into this, and I've asked you to turn to Exodus 32. Now again, our message tonight is being recorded. And if you question anything that I say tonight and you want to look at this more closely, I challenge you to get a copy of this and listen closely. If you don't catch what all we're covering tonight, the ultimate mediator is Jesus Christ. The word mediator appears in the Bible 6 times, and every time it referred to Jesus. Now, 1 Timothy 2 and 5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man. And what does it say? The man, Christ Jesus. And friends, I want you to know, I believe that prayer is of the utmost importance. I believe that that saying that says 7 days without prayer will make 1 week. How many have heard that or seen that? I believe the Bible teaches us to enter our closet and pray in secret, and God will reward us openly. But I want us to understand the role of prayerful intercession in the New Testament. A prayerful intercessor, a human intercessor in the New Testament, is not standing between God and man. Hear me now. Now, the intercessor in the New Testament is wrestling with principalities and against powers. But friends, what we need to do in the New Testament is take people to Jesus. He's the mediator. And his availability is open. The access to Jesus is wide open. Now, to get to God, though, help me understand, we've got to go through Jesus. Somebody say amen. Human intercession, this is being recorded, is important. But it doesn't replace evangelism. How many caught that? I won't say that again. Human intercession, extremely important, but it doesn't replace evangelism. Fasting and prayer can bring great deliverance. But here's the thing, the truth will make you free. What we need to do is get the truth in people. Amen. If somebody wants to be healed, let faith work in you. Let the Word of God give you the truth of the Word of God and declare who you are in Jesus and the truth of who you are. And the fact is the children's bread will give you faith to receive your healing. Amen. Now, the Great Commission is to go, not to stay and pray. The early church was persecuted into mobility. They were thrust out of Jerusalem because of persecution. I think they sat on their laurels. That's my opinion. You can read it yourself. Amen. Here we go. If just praying worked, monasteries would win the world. We've got to put legs under our prayers. We've got to spread the news of the gospel. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, friends, we need to pray. Somebody say, I am not minimizing prayer whatsoever tonight, but I want you to know our prayers don't take the place of Jesus. He's our one and sole mediator. Amen. And we've got to take people to Jesus. We've got to do the work of Andrew. Andrew took Peter to Jesus. We've got to take people to Jesus. We've got to bring the truth that gives people the revelation of who Jesus is. And it will set them free. That's what I believe. Amen. The Scripture tells us to pray the Lord of the harvest that He would do what? That He would send forth laborers carrying the truth into His harvest. Now the story of Exodus 32, and I am absolutely not going to do this justice tonight. Hallelujah. I want to get into the story about Moses being a mediator. And again, I stress the fact tonight that Jesus, hallelujah, was foreshadowed in Moses. How many believe that God did know the end from the beginning? How many, you really believe that? I'm not just, I don't think God had to figure this out as He went. And I don't think He used trial and error to figure out what the plan of salvation should be. I shared that with the church when I first got saved, unchurched, and didn't know anything really about the Bible. I thought, well, God tried all this and finally got it right with Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm glad He got it right with Jesus, though. How many believe that Jesus was glorified with God the Father from the beginning and that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world? You believe that? Do you believe that when God was ready to kick Adam and Eve out of the garden? I'm going to shout. Praise God. Hallelujah. That when He took coats of skins and clothed them, that in God the Father's mind, He was thinking, blood is being shed to provide a durable clothing to cover the sinfulness of a naked man. I'm believing God the Father in His mind was thinking of Jesus and what would happen on the cross. 4,000 years later, Brother Russell, that's just me. I believe God was thinking of that. But we get to Genesis, or we get to Exodus chapter 32, and here some questions arise. What's going on here? Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down for thy people. Let me see God wiping His hands here. Thy people. Which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Don't tell your wife. Wives, don't tell your husband. Your people. Talking about your in-laws. How many are with me today? That's usually the quickest way to get in trouble. I'm thankful I've got the sweetest in-laws a person could ever ask for. Y'all met them. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They've made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. And have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone. Now this is God the Father, the eternal God, the all-knowing, omnipotent, ever-present God is saying this. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now therefore let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Now verse 11, Moses responded. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief Did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land which I have spoken of will I give to your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Verse 14, it says, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Now, I know you may be scratching your head just a minute. Let's jump down in the same chapter to verse number 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now, this foreshadow of Jesus. And now I will go unto the Lord. I'll go back up on that mountain. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them golds of God. Here, verse 32. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. What did he do? He stood in the gap and offered his life instead for the children of Israel. How many can see that he became the ultimate mediator in the presence of God? Friends, the most you can do for a friend is give your life. How many understand that? And I believe Jesus done the same thing. Now, why don't I ask you a question here? And consider what's going on. God telling Moses, this prophet's going to be like you. And this setting that's here and all these similarities, how many believe that's beyond a coincidence? Are y'all with me tonight? I see God at the helm, orchestrating these events. Did God know Moses' response before he ever made this statement? I want you to turn to Hebrews. And this is the last verse I ask you to turn to tonight, chapter number 8. And we're considering Moses. As Jesus expounded to these two travelers, beginning at Moses, the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Friends, I am so glad that I've got a loving Savior that stood in the gap for me, that bore the grunt of the wrath of a just and holy God that I could not bear on my own. I deserved to be wiped out. How many are with me there? Are y'all with me tonight? I deserved it, but it's for wonderful grace and mercy. Notice Hebrews 8, and again, I'm going to close here. And this has been a lot of food for thought tonight. I hope you've received this. I know some folks probably can scratch your head and say, I didn't get it, Brother Ted. Again, get the CD, get online, you can listen to it again, and praise the Lord. The good thing about having the CD, you can fast forward it, and you hear the preacher preach again. If you didn't catch it, back it up a minute. Listen to it again. Hebrews 8 and 5, it says, who serve unto the example. I want you to say the word example. Example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that you make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now he hath attained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the what? Read this with me. The mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. I want to propose to you tonight. God allowed himself to be an example. He wanted to show me and you how he could be moved. Not by the man Moses, but by he whom Moses was foreshadowing, our Lord and Savior. Because Jesus is the only mediator. Y'all get that? Jesus is the only mediator. But that tells me that my Lord and Savior can move God the Father in my behalf. And that the grace of God and the mercy of God provided through the cross of Calvary is sufficient to cover all of my sin. And that I can be acceptable to God. I can walk in holiness and righteousness through the cleansing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sanctification that's available in the power of the cross. If you believe that tonight, say amen. God the Father wanted to drive this point home so much that he played a role to show you there can be mediation in heaven through this man foreshadowed in the life of Moses. Let's stand to our feet. Sister Vicki, will you come to the piano tonight?